Thank you, Bruce. Man, you drank my water and it took my seat. I guess anybody that can get a conference canceled by not making an appearance can drink my water and get by with it. Not much I can do about it, is there? Donnie's never said that to me. And you don't have to. You don't have to. He's invited me back. I'm thankful for that. Last year was my first time preaching in the conference here, although I'd preached here many times. Last year, Donnie finally invited me. You may recall me saying that I felt very fulfilled in that regard because I'd been waiting about 35 years. And now he invited me back a second time. This might be the last time. So it's a delight to be with you. Pray for me. Pray for me. Bruce, that was an excellent message. Thank you so very much. I hope I can continue along that same line. Will you turn with me to 1 Peter? 1 Peter. The people that Peter wrote both of his epistles to, at the time he wrote them, were suffering some severe persecution under the tyrant Nero. Many of them, God's people, had lost all their earthly possessions, property, their homes, and even thousands had lost their lives. Look here in verse 1 of chapter 1. Peter says, "And an apostle of Jesus Christ to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia." But Peter goes on to remind them of that which they could never, ever lose. Nero or any other man could never take this away from them. Look at verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible." They had lost their earthly homes, but Peter said, "You have a home in heaven. Can't be touched. And undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." And then in chapter 2, Peter speaks of that which is most precious. Three times in four verses, which make up three sentences, Peter uses that word precious. And every time, he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire to see and sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." That's the first. "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, 'Behold,'" this is God talking, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. The preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, he's precious to God. Verse 6, precious in himself. Precious in himself. And verse 7, unto you that believe, he is precious. The word there is the preciousness. It could have very well been translated that way. Unto you therefore which believe, he is preciousness itself. Is that not so? You see, it's all about him. Isn't it, Mike? It's all about him. I'm sure, have seen the sign. It was more popular at one time than it is now on church buildings, on their marquee. I saw one just the other day, so it hasn't died out. But remember this. You can't spell church without you. The you would be gone. We can't spell church without you. It's all about you. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's all about him. God can easily do without you and me, but not without him. Not without Christ. He's precious to God, precious to those who believe. I remember years ago, Brother Tim James was preaching in one of the conferences in Danville, Kentucky. And he referred to that, which I just did. You can't spell church without you. And Tim said, I guess that's right. But you can't spell stupid without you either. You can't spell dumb without you either. He's got that right then. Verse 4. Let's start where God starts. Let's start where God starts. Unto you, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but that's not the end of the story, is it? What men do is not the end of the story, but chosen of God, and precious. I remember hearing Scott Richardson say on more than one occasion, before God can do anything for you, he's got to do something for himself. That's what Bruce preached about. Before God can forgive any sinner, he must do it upon the grounds of satisfied justice. Mercy always comes on the wings of satisfied justice. Unto God, Jesus Christ is precious. To whom, we read in verse 4. To whom coming? I'm just going to pitch tent right there. To whom coming? Not to what? Not to what? Yes, he was disallowed of men. In verse 7, we're told the builders. He was disallowed by the builders. The religious leaders. Christ said to them, referring to Psalm 118. He said, have you never read in Scripture, speaking to the Pharisees, the scribes, the priests, have you never read in Scripture that the stone which the builders rejected? The builders, the same has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, whether they liked it or not. And it's marvelous in our eyes. Yes, the builders said concerning the Lord of glory, we'll not have this man rule over us. He just doesn't fit in. We don't need him. We've got Abraham. Moses. We don't need Jesus Christ. What should we do with him? Crucify him. Crucify him. What a sorry testimony that is concerning man. Luke says, Pilate delivered Jesus to their will. Their will. My, so much talk in our day. Most preachers talk about the freedom of man's will. Yeah, can't spell stupid without you. Not so. Not so. Their will was to crucify the Son of God. But they didn't have the final word, did they? Still chosen of God and precious. When I was a young boy at home, and my father would tell me to do something, and I would kick against it, Donnie. I was stupid. My father would say, son, do that, and that's final. That's the final word. And if you've got a problem with it, son, he would say, I bet I can change your tune. I never won that bet. Never won it. He could change... God Almighty, concerning his son, they said, we'll not have this man rule over us. But God highly exalted him, this one that is precious to God, precious to believers, and given him a name above all names. Who has the final word? Son of God, they said. Well, that's a lie. He's a deceiver. Why do you even bother to listen to him, the religious leaders? The builder said, but God said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Let me read something to you from the Psalms. This is what the builder said. I'm reading from Psalm 2. Let's break their bands asunder, verse 3, and cast away their cords from us. That's what the builder said. That's what the religious leader said. But listen to what God said. Look who has the final word. He that setteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet, even though he was disallowed of the builders... Yet, God says, have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, God says to his son. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. The very fact that God Almighty speaks thus concerning his son shows the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's none like him. The word precious means, I'm sure, among other things, but it means rare, doesn't it? Indispensable, Frank. Can't do without. One of a kind. That describes and so much more the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the preciousness. Oh, child of God, where would we be, Gary, without him? Bruce referred to it a moment ago, Matthew 7. There will be people stand before God in that day. Jesus Christ taught this. And the only mediator they have between them and an absolute just God, a God that's not easily satisfied, a God that demands perfection, and the only foundation that they have that they're trusting on is their own works, their own doings. My, so what a horrible, horrible thought. But it'll be a reality. Lord, have we not done things. We've done many marvelous things in your name. They talked about things, but not whom. To whom coming? Salvation is in him. A young woman, a couple months ago, waited after the service at our church, wanted to speak to me. And after everyone left, she said, I'm wondering, what process? She'd been visiting other churches. And she said, I'd like to know, what process do you use for salvation here? That's her exact words. What process do you use for salvation here? And I said, young lady, salvation is not a process. Salvation's a person. Salvation is having the Son of God. Salvation is not obtained by learning a process or finding some kind of secret formula and then you have it. Oh, no. Again, look at it. To whom coming? Paul said, I know what? No, he didn't. He said, I know whom. I know whom I have believed. And that's what gave him peace when he sat in that lonely cell in Rome, hearing the footsteps of the executioner at the door. He said, Timothy, it's not a problem. I know whom I have believed. I'm ready to depart and be with him, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the preciousness. Simeon. What a blessed example that is. That old man is led by the Spirit of God into the temple. At the very time that Mary and Joseph are carrying in that little dark-skinned Jewish baby boy. Looks like any other Jewish baby boy. David, that's God Almighty. That's God in the flesh. That's the one who in the beginning made everything that is made. Whew. My soul. When Simeon came in, he wasn't looking for a thing. He was beholding someone, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We'll never be saved by looking to anything or anyone but him. And when Simeon saw him and the Spirit of God whispered in his ear, that's him. That's him. And that old man said, this is what I've been waiting for all my life. And he walks over and takes that babe out of the arms of his mother and says, Father, God, let me die. Let me die. There's nothing else in this world worth seeing. I'm ready to die. Why, Simeon? How can you say such a thing? How can you say you're ready to depart in peace and stand before God? How can that be possible? Because I've seen thy salvation. And he was looking at the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing else. Oh, to have eyes only for him. Oh, Donnie, it doesn't take a whole lot to say that. Oh, for his grace to really want it. Oh, to have eyes only for the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is in whom? The preciousness. I read this comment by old John Newton. He wrote, I endeavored to renounce society that I might avoid temptation. How'd that work out for you, John? But it was a poor religion. So far as it prevailed, it only tended to make me gloomy and stupid and unsociable and useless. Oh, but then, like Simeon, Newton came to whom? Came to whom? He saw God's salvation, and that changed his tune. When he looked unto Christ, the just God and Savior, then he wrote, "Oh, how precious God, draw back the curtain of memory now and then. Show us, remind us what you brought us from and where we could have been, except for the Lord Jesus Christ." How precious. Do you remember, child of God? Do you remember when you couldn't explain it at the time, but suddenly this world lost its attraction? Those things you once grasped for, those things you once thought, if I just have that, if I can just get hold of that, I'll be satisfied. Then all of a sudden, you thought, it's nothing. It's nothing. I went to my dear grandmother, one of the few people I knew that professed to know God, and I said, "Grandmother, I'm lost. I'm lost." "Grandmother, if somebody walked in here right now and laid $1 million at my feet, what would it matter? I'm thirsty, Grandmother. What must I do?" I was a hippie in those days. Grandmother told me to go get a haircut. Things. Oh, no. Point this thirsty sinner to the water of life. Point me to whom? Let me hear him say, "Come unto me, all ye that thirsty, and drink. And drink." The Lord Jesus Christ. My prayer has been, ever since Donnie invited me up, and especially driving up here today, God, be pleased to meet with us. Bless these services. Bless every preacher that stands up to preach. Grant him the grace and the liberty, the power of your Holy Spirit. Enable us to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Let it be our heart's desire to make Christ the main attraction. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. He's the preciousness. The apostles didn't go around preaching a plan of salvation, did they? I saw that on one of these signs. I told Frank about it when I was driving around Huntington. I declare I thought I saw one of them big churches with the sign that the name of it was "The Church of What's Happening Now." I saw one that said, "Are you lost? Try God's GPS, God's plan of salvation." Oh, no. May God enable us to uphold the person of his dear Son. Yes. He may be pleased to open some blinded eyes to behold the Lamb of God. Woo! Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? The last time I was here, October the 5th, preached on a Sunday night, went out and visited with Donnie the next morning before I drove back home. And he was telling me about this fellow who put in writing, and I wasn't surprised, this theologian. Paul, he had cut me off a long time ago. But he wrote that if any sinner is saved, he must be saved intellectually. Remember that conversation, Donnie? Must be saved intellectually. Got to know. ever heard men preach like that and get the impression, man, I got to have a degree to be saved. I'm too stupid to be saved. If what he's saying is so, the only thing I must know is this. Him. Whom? Having him, I have everything. Everything I need now, tomorrow, and for eternity. I'm complete in him. Complete. Complete. That means I don't lack anything. I hear, like the fella Mindani discussed the article he wrote. It reminded me, my daughter was young at home. I let her get her hamster. And he was in a cage, and he'd get in that little wheel and just go round and round and round and round and never go anywhere. And I hear these guys, and they say, man, you got to know this and this and this and this. And I just don't get anywhere. It just makes me dizzy. Show me Jesus. Show me Jesus. As Paul said to that Philippian jailer, sirs, this sinner said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Paul and Silas didn't say, first of all, you've got to get Gil's body of divinity. No, he didn't. You've got to be indoctrinated. No, you know what they said. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. They pointed him to the only Savior, the only mediator between God and man. I like the way Christ preached to sinners. Wish I could learn to preach like the only preacher that there really is. Christ himself can only make it effectual. But he looked out at a multitude of people who were following him because they got hungry again. Because just not long before that, he had fed the multitude. And they followed him across the sea. And he looked at them with a heart full of compassion and mercy. And he looked out at that multitude and he said, is anybody really hungry? Is anybody hungry? I'm the bread that came down from heaven. Come and eat of me and live forever. Is anybody thirsty, he asked. Is anybody thirsty? Let him come to me and drink. Does anybody really want to know God? Does anybody want to know God? I'm the way to him. Christ says, I'm the way. No man comes to the Father but by me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is what Paul wrote up. Well, I think it was Paul. In Hebrews 4, didn't he? Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works. Ooh, I like that. I like that. You mean it's not do-do-do-do-do-do-do? It's not don't touch this and don't taste that and don't go there and don't wear that. No. Cease from that nonsense. As God did from his, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. That rest. His rest. Oh, it is so sweet to trust in Jesus. Is it not? So sweet, just from sin and self to cease. Ooh, I don't get any rest when I look at self. No. It does the opposite. Does the opposite. Like that hamster in the treadmill. Oh, but it's so sweet when we, by God's grace, can cease from sin and self and simply take from Jesus life and rest and joy and peace. When I'm traveling, sometimes traveling for many miles, interstate, you've seen one, you've seen them all. Pretty much, pretty boring. Start to get tired. See a sign. Rest stop ahead. Rest stop ahead. Oh, yeah, yeah. Sounds good to me. Is there a lost, heavy-laden sinner here tonight? Jesus Christ is the rest stop. Come unto me, and you'll find rest unto your souls. A couple of months ago, a lady called me. I don't know that I've ever spoken to a more distraught woman or anyone. She was nearly out of her mind. She'd been listening to our messages, yours, Bruce, yours, on Free Grace Radio and Sermon Audio. And she said, she first said, "What should I call you?" I said, "Larry. Call me Larry." She said, "I've been listening to some of your messages and others." And she said, and she was just sobbing. She said, "I was baptized, made a profession of faith three times, three different times. And I didn't know God. And I went to my pastor that baptized me the last time. And I said, 'Pastor, I'm not saved. I'm not saved.' And she said, he told me, 'Yes, you are. Yes, you are.' He either had to do that or admit that he'd been telling lies on God, one or the other, because she went through the hoops that he told her to go through, and she said it didn't bring peace to my heart and said, 'Pastor, I'm lost.' He said, 'Oh, no, you're all right. You're all right.' I must have spent an hour with her on the phone. And she said, now, she'd been sent home in a hospital bed. She said, 'Now, Larry, I'm dying. I'm dying. And I'm afraid I'm going to hell. What should I do?' I said, 'Old lady, stop going. They've been telling you, go, go, go. Stop going and come. Christ says, come unto me. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely, freely.' And I pray God gave her grace to do so. Old Joseph Hart wrote, 'Come, ye sinners, weak and weary, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. Come, ye thirsty, come and welcome. God's free bounty glorify, true belief and true repentance, every grace that brings you nigh. Come, ye weary, heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall. If you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. Oh, by his grace, may some sinner join in the chorus, 'I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms, in the arms of my dear Savior.' Oh, there are 10,000 charms. It's all about him. He said, 'Search the scriptures. They testify of me. Take him out. And what would you have left? I'll tell you what you wouldn't have. You wouldn't have God's purpose to save sinners. Listen to this. God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. How does that grab you? Oh, it grabs me good. Bruce, like that article I read of yours, I can't mess it up. I can't mess it up. It's in His hands, in the arms of my dear Savior. All there are 10,000 charms. Without Him, there's no hope, because there's no mediator, no redeemer, no Savior, no justification. May God enable us, my brother preachers, to do as old John the Baptist did. Before he was even born, Gabriel went to his father Zacharias and said, "Elizabeth, I have a son. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord." A few months later, he went to Mary and said, "You're going to have a son. He shall be great. He is the Lord." He is the Lord. And John said, "He's greater than me. He's greater than me. Are you the Messiah, John?" "No, no, no. I'm not the bridegroom. He is. I'm just a voice, but He's the Word made flesh. He that had the Son, the preciousness, has life." Once they came to John and said, "This doesn't seem fair. You were first. Now everybody's going to Him." And John said, "Man, that's the best news I ever heard." "That's great. I told you before, I'm not the Christ. It's all about Him. He must increase and I must decrease." May every preacher, by God's grace, endeavor to do that. That'd be okay, wouldn't it, Mike? Wouldn't it, Paul? Everyone that followed the other preacher would endeavor by God's grace to exalt Him more than the fella did before him. That'd be okay, wouldn't it? He must increase. And God may be pleased. God may be pleased. This is the means He's pleased to use. The preaching of the gospel. To open some poor, blind Bartimaeus' eyes. Wouldn't that be marvelous? He may be pleased before these meetings end this weekend to come to the tomb of some dead Lazarus. Oh, yeah. You really believe that, Larry? Oh, if I didn't, I wouldn't be here. He's the resurrection and the life. He might come to the tomb of some dead Lazarus, some sinner, dead in trespasses and sins, and say, "Come forth." What will happen? Well, he that was dead came forth. And the Lord said, "Loose him and let him go." And the next picture we see of Lazarus, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom He raised from the dead, there they made him a supper. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Him. He went from the tomb to the dining room, supping with King Jesus. Isn't that something? May God be pleased to do that. When the last message is preached this Sunday morning, may we leave this place singing praises to our God and Savior. Like on that same occasion, Mary came and took some very costly ointment and anointed our Lord's feet, wiped them with her hair, and we read the whole house was filled with the odor of the ointment. May this house be filled with the sweet odor of our adoration, gratitude to Jesus Christ, who is the preciousness. May God grant that for His glory, for the glory of His dear Son, and every one of His redeemed. God bless you. Thank you for your attention.